presenting radio's foremost laboratory of new writing and production techniques, the Columbia Workshop. Today, The Fisherman and the Ginny, adapted from the Arabian Tales of the Thousand and One Nights by Perry Harton and Zaki Eldon, with original music composed by Norman Lockwood and conducted by Frederick Steiner. The Fisherman and the Ginny is directed for the workshop by Howard G. Barnes. In the Mohammedan world, the Arabian Nights are considered coffee house literature, for they are tales spun out of the wish fulfillment of the common people, to whom it seems, if not reasonable, at least highly desirable, that a pauper may instantly be transformed into a prince, and that a jar or cave or magic lamp may hold a genie. Our story today is part dream and part nightmare, and 100% fanciful. In times of yore and ages long past, there was a poor fisherman in the city of Baghdad. One day this fisherman went forth to the river and made a cast with his net. Thrice did he cast, and thrice did he gather naught but sand and mud. Then, having called on Allah's name, he again threw his net, whereupon he hauled it in and found naught but a jar, sealed with the seal of David. He cursed the jar and started to throw it back into the sea, but he could not lift it. His curiosity aroused by the weight of the jar, he pried open the heavy seal and forced off the lid.
Bismillah! Who or what art thou?
I am a jinni, and I was imprisoned in this jar.
A jinni?
Yes, but be of good cheer, old fisherman.
Why dost thou bid me to be of good cheer? Jinnies are not known to man as bearers of good cheer.
I say again, be of good cheer. Thou must die within this very hour.
Die? Oh, powerful one, what thing have I done to deserve death? I who freed thee from this jar.
Know then that the Lord Solomon put me in this jar to punish me. And here I abode beneath the sea for 300 years. No one set me free. Thus I waxed wroth and promise to myself that whoso shall release me, him shall I slay.
By Allah, 'tis indeed a tale of awe and wonder. But spare my life for the sake of my motherless daughter, Hudah. Spare it as Allah spared thine.
Die thou must. So speak by way of whom, what manner of death thou wilt die.
O genie, forgive me, but should I question thee on a certain matter, wilt thou give me a true answer?
Ask and be brief.
How did thou fit into this jar, which could not hold thy hand? How came it to be large enough to contain the whole of thee?
It's part of the magic of being a jinni.
I don't believe you were in the jar at all.
You don't believe?
Nay, I shall not believe it until I see thee inside with my own eyes.
You have no imagination. That's why you're a fisherman. For a jinni, anything is possible. You shall see me in the jar then. Dost thou believe me now?
Fool, I have thee now, locked in the jar.
Who do you?
Oh, Ginny, ask me now what manner of death thou wouldst die. Methinks I shall throw thee back into the sea.
I did suggest, O fisherman. Let me out, and I shall make thee 2 wondrous gifts.
And what is thy pledge? How am I to know that thou wilt not harm me the instant I set thee free?
I swear by the most holy name of Allah.
By the name of Allah, huh? Very well, I take thee at thy word. I set thee free. It is time now to fulfill thy pledge, O Ginny, and give me the 2 gifts thou promised.
I keep my pledge, fisherman. Take hold of my hand, for there is much distance we must travel.
Oh. this now?
Here, old fisherman, is my first promise to thee. Thou seest before thee a wondrous lake.
What use could that lake be to me?
Cast thy net, and then wilt thou know.
As thou wish. Methinks this be a jest, but I have cast my net.
Haul in thy net now.
My net is light indeed. There cannot be anything in it.
Haul in the net and hold thy tongue.
By Allah.
Have I kept my promise, fisherman?
These be verily the most wondrous fish mine eyes hath ever seen. One white, one red, one blue.
And one yellow. Carry these four fish to the Sultan and set them in his presence. Then shall he give thee great riches.
He would make me wealthy for four fish?
Some sultans collect beautiful women. The Sultan of Baghdad collects beautiful fish. Go thou to him. He will know their value.
Then I will go.
Before thy departure, I said I would give thee two things. This is my second gift.
A ring.
It bears upon it the sign of Solomon, he who was lord over all genii and enchanters.
A magic ring?
Rub it for thy protection when evil threatens thee. For I am the genii of Solomon, and I will make your safety. Go now, on thy way to the Sultan.
What wouldst thou of me, O fisherman?
My lord, may the blessing of Allah rest upon thee. We, my motherless daughter Huda, and I have come with a gift for thee, my lord.
And what is the nature of thy gift?
Knowing my lord's interest in creatures of the sea and hearing tales of thy glass and cold lakes and many rare fish, I have brought thee four fish of strange beauty.
Well, to thee I am grateful. Tell me now, fisherman, what dost thou think of my great aquarium to which we add your gift?
By Allah, never thought I that such variety existed under the sun.
Your daughter shall have the honor of putting these wondrous fish in this glass chamber.
Thy wish is a command, my lord.
Vizier, give the creatures to her.
'Tis done, sire. This is the way to place them, O maiden.
There. But they look even lovelier in the glass aquarium.
Look. The blue fish has come close to the glass. It is moving its mouth as if it wants to talk to us.
They seem almost human.
Nana, I speak Eve, girl. Almost human.
Father mine, what is this woman who appears from nowhere?
I know not, my daughter.
Oh, by Allah the Omnipotent, what be the meaning of this strange woman of black magic?
I demand but the gift of yon fisherman. The four-colored fish.
The fish?
Was meant only for my lord, the Sultan.
Tis best thou do quickly as I bid. Do you hear me, Sultan of Baghdad?
Day of days, thou darest command me? Vizier, call the guards to strap this woman of weak mind.
Hey, O sire. Guards! Guards! The Sultan's guards!
Thine action is foolish. Now the fish be not anyone's. And thine collection... Oh. There, O Sultan, thy fine aquarium lies in ruins. And I warn thee, go not again to that lake.
My lord, what has happened?
With a wave of a hand, the sorceress has split open my aquarium and my wondrous fish. They are dead.
Thy work of many moons.
By the sacred scarab, if she be the queen of the dark world herself, this is not the end of it. Tell me, O fisherman, dost thou remember the lake wherein were found those fish?
O sire, my memory serves me well, but 'tis a far journey from this city.
If thou canst but lead me to that spot. Vizier.
My lord.
Call forth my lancers to mount their steeds. We shall pitch our tents on the shore of that lake and seek its mystery. No fisherman, hast thou ever traveled these parts before?
Never did I set eyes on these lands, my lord. We seem surely lost.
It's a land of strange beauty. Even though it be deserted.
This mystery is more than my mind can fathom. Nothing to be seen in 6 days of journey riding, day and night. It is time that
Ayala, in the distance, let
Ahuja, my child, it is not the bright burning sun, I hope.
No, no, no. Truly, there's something there.
Where dost thou see this?
Toward the west, beyond the dunes.
Yes, it does seem as though I see the spires and minarets of the city. We shall see.
The gate to the city, old Sultan.
But the gatekeeper must be near. Gateman! Gateman!
This place is as deserted as the land we crossed. It seems to be the quiet of a naturalness within this city.
If we can but find someone here.
There may be someone at yon palace. It is of noble proportions and surely the seat of the Lord of the Realm.
It's a wonder to me that such a magnificent city should be unpopulated.
Some strange happening befell this place suddenly, my lord. Look, the bazaar is open and the wares are displayed.
Thou sayest the truth, fisherman.
Look through this window.
What dost thou see, daughter?
There's food on that table yonder, and places are set.
It appears that people had gone in haste.
Moon of moons! There, by that stone, a fish,
a colored fish.
Be it not best we depart this deserted city?
The way hath been too long to turn back now. Let us go into the palace.
It is indeed a dwelling worthy of a king.
Father. Father, dost thou hear that?
Singing. Someone is singing.
Let us find its source.
The singing comes from that direction, my lord.
Allah grant it be one who can give us victuals and drink.
Oh, the sound sounds of melancholia.
It is not a wonder with naught but emptiness in this city.
It is this wing, methinks.
What? It is a young man.
A lad fair of face.
Yes, and sad of visage. Peace be with you, O youth.
By Allah, I had not heard thee enter. Who are ye, strangers?
I am the Sultan of Baghdad.
Oh, my lord. Thy dignity demandeth my rising to thee, but my health restraineth me. I crave thy pardon.
Thou art excused, O youth. We, this most expert fisherman of my land...
My lord.
...and his fair daughter, Huda...
Sire.
...we find this news of thy ill health most unwelcome. Wouldst thou tell us who thou art?
I am Badir Khaled, king of these lands.
We are honored, sire.
Tell me, Sultan of Baghdad, what brings thee to this land?
'Twas for a gift given to me by this good fisherman and his daughter.
A gift?
Oh, sire, I did but give my sultan for his great aquarium 4 colored fish.
Colored fish?
Oh, my lord, thou hast paled. All this talk hath made thy condition worse. Thine eyes are moist with grief.
Why should I not pale, and my heart be heavy, when this is my plight?
Allah! No, it cannot be!
In the name of the Prophet! The lower half of thy body is stone to the soles of thy feet, O King.
Alack, thou sayest the truth. Now seest thou the cause of my sorrow. From waist to toe, I'm nothing but unfeeling white marble.
There is no majesty, no might save in Allah.
Surely thou wert not born that way, O King.
Indeed not, fisherman. What thine eyes seeth hath been wrought by my wife.
Well, how could thy wife turn flesh and blood into marble?
My wife, the queen of this land, is a sorceress.
Sorceress?
A woman of black art who performs her witchcraft wantonly.
Could thy power not restrain her, my lord?
What is my power to match her deviltry?
What of thy soldiers and lords of the realm? What of thy vizier and guards? Surely they would avenge thee had thou told them of thy plight.
Illustrious Sultan, thou hast walked in the streets of this city. What didst thou find?
By Allah, never have I seen a city before that was so barren of life.
As if the hand of evil had suddenly... Then the queen was...
Verily, the queen, my wife, she smote the people of this unfortunate city with her wrath as she did me.
O King, I humbly ask that thou but give us this chance to help thee, not only for thine own self, but perchance thy people. Can thou tell us more that would help?
Be it as thy wish, O fairest of the fair. Know then that I took my wife, my cousin, We did live happily together a few months, when suddenly her time was not with me. She would be off alone, and this with the dark of night as companion. And thence did I perceive the softness and warmth of her visage no longer, but instead the hardness of stone and the coldness of the desert night. Not long since wed, and mine not knowing what course to follow, I sought the father of my wife, mine uncle. I thought surely he would give good counsel in this most distressing matter.
Well then, hear me, young king, if it be an aid. When my daughter, your wife, was but 6 years of age, the hills of our land did swallow her. Naught was to be found. And this did cause my wife, thine aunt, to bleed at the heart and die. 10 years did pass, whilst I ever sought my child. Thence, one day of days in my travels through the ancient lands of the East, I did hap upon a man of many moons and suns, a man of deep and varied learning. In his house dwelt a maid turned 16.
Then it was your
daughter. Yea, my daughter. The truth begot by the mark of birth that appeareth on her shoulder. The man of age only knew of finding her in his forest one night of heavenly wrath, whereupon he took her up and fed and clothed her and nourished her mind the many years. My daughter knew not how she came there. I brought her here to the abode from whence she came, flesh of my flesh, though she be. 'Twas alone she spent of her time in the hours of dark, in the very hill that did once take her from me. I was of no import. But of a joyous state to have her near, I did not intrude on her life. No, mine eyes were not blinded by the sun. I thought the strength of thy love would prove the point of her turning to more normal pursuits. But now thou tellest me this.
'Tis in truth a tale of strange happenings, uncle. If it could but help me. But it leaves things even darker.
I know thou seekest my advice, for the fineness of thy nature prevents thee intruding on thy wife. But, young king, I give thee this counsel. Seek now the truth, ere it be too late.
Thus, with her father's counsel in my breast, I returned to my palace.
But did thou do his bidding?
O king, is there more to enlighten?
Did thou unfold the mysterious manner of thy wife?
At the earliest moment, I did hasten to do as he spoke. With an alert eye and a quiet foot, I followed my wife, till I did one day find her entering a remote corner of one of the towers of this palace. Therein did I proceed in her wake, and uncovered an entrance to a hidden passageway, a secret panel of stone never known to me. This I did remember. Thence, one night, when I thought her abed, I hastened to the secret stone panel in the tower. Lest light betray in the black, I did guide my steps by the wall, slowly, ever slowly, knowing not what fell beneath my feet. As I went forth, a flush as of the noon sun beat upon my brow. Thence, of a sudden, a shaft of light thrust out at the end of the tunnelway. This did draw me, till of a sudden... By the soul of the prophet, what horror is this from the bowels of the earth?
King, O king, thy mercy to free us from this torment.
Thou see neither man nor beast. How be thy arms and legs are but vulture's claws, and ears but sunken pits in thy head?
My lord, it is the makings of thy queen. She is a sorceress.
A queen? A sorceress?
It is true. Day unto day she doth take from the town thine own people to work the ways of the devil upon them. Thine own eyes bear witness to me. And there was a woman once, now with serpent's tongue and legs as one to slither on the earth.
'Tis a wonder no more why my wife is not with me. Tell me, poor man, what I could do to help thee in thy plight.
Good king, if thou be found, thy worth be lost. Each dead of night, this very hour, she cometh. These cauldrons of herbs and spirits to prepare, and her black art to dispense. Go now. Go now, for she comes.
Ha 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 ha!
husband, his curiosity did satisfy.
By Allah,
offspring of the devil, thou hast driven my people beyond what the mind doth comprehend. Thine own parent would abhor thee.
That is no matter. There is a man closer to me than blood of my blood. A man of the East, a man of wisdom, nature, and science, who did find and care for me and teach me when small.
And this is the cause of all strange acts, so called by thine father, and now seen by me.
Truly thou didst seek too much. Now of thine own will, blot thy memory, and let this be.
Never of my own will can I let this be. Thou act not wife, but only witch. Thy cruelty shall be punished and be done with. The guards will chain and bind thee.
I warn thee not to try.
Thou foulest of beings. I shall drag thee myself to the deepest dungeons to let time cleanse thy soul, if this ever be.
Darest touch me, thou fool! Thou artless being, simple earthly form. Then I put a blight upon thy realm, and turn thy people to vari-colored fish, to wander under water heated by the desert sun. And thee, mine husband, I do change into half man and half stone.
And thus have I become as thou seest me now, half man, half stone, unable to rise or to sit, neither dead nor alive.
Oh, my Lord. My heart grieves to hear such a tale of woe.
By Ella, this is the strangest and most sorrowful tale I have ever heard.
Tell us, O king, what hath become of thy wife, the sorceress? Hath she departed and left thee to thy plight?
Nay, wouldst to Allah that she had.
Where then is she?
She is here, in this very palace. For it is her wont to come before me each day to taunt me with her black art. With forms grotesque, half human, half other, she doth sport, and even find it her pleasure to alter more my being. Then, each time to return me thus.
By the Prophet Muhammad, there must be means to cease this unholy
act. We shall this very moment seek out this creature and do her so that this be no more.
Good fisherman, thy will is strong, but thy power weak. For thy safekeeping and thy daughter's, and thine, O Sultan, it is best to flee this world of darkness.
Young king, 'tis not for thy plight alone, which is enough to maketh bleed a stone. But if this sorceress, thy wife not fit to call, show that she be one who did split asunder my work of many moons, my aquarium of fish all strange and rare, then for this alone I do make amends. Fisherman, let us be gone to search out the sorceress.
My lord, that gift of fish which did occasion this happening that brought us hither, I did get from a jinni. A jinni through quick and cunning wit I did better. Thus, my wise and learned sultan, through stealth and with guile, shall we outdo this evil creature. Lead on. I follow.
Father, be wary. She is an evil one. Oh, king, I fear their safety.
It were best that you had never come to this accursed place.
And dost thou entertain my kingly husband?
Thou accursed sorceress, may Allah strike thee.
Excite thyself not, dear Huda, for she is not worthy even of thy wrath.
My husband's eyes seem warm and live, not like his lower body. Perhaps it be best to make thine eyes like that body, stone.
Mine eyes have witnessed all that be fair. Now do thy will.
Why dost thou torture him this way? Are thy deeds not enough?
And pray, what concern is it thine how I choose to act toward my husband? Perchance what drives thee is more than your kind heart.
Is there a heart that could be less moved by his lonely plight?
So, my fair maiden, I will leave thee in the same form as my poor husband, to cheer each other's loneliness. I change thee to half stone.
Oh, thy heart be torn from thy body. This I would do with my own hands. Alas, alas, poor Huda.
I am half woman and half stone. My legs, they be senseless. I cannot move.
Oh, evil one, not my daughter. Huda, she's turned half stone.
You, the very same who caused my aquarium to be split asunder, stop thy spell.
Ah, the Sultan of Baghdad and the fisherman. Two more to join my husband. Stay thy hand, Sultan. I turn thee to half stone.
I cannot move.
Oh, Father,
what are you all night doing?
Take thy hand from my person. I will be a body of stone. I will change to... That ring on my finger.
Ring? The genie. The ring of the genie. The genie of Solomon.
The ring of the genie of Solomon.
Rub it when in danger, said the genie. Very well, I will rub it.
No. No. No!
I witnessed the Mohammedan's father. My own child, praise be to Allah for thy sake.
Oh, fisherman, thou hast broken the spell. It fell from all.
Thou hast smitten the power of that accursed woman.
As I rubbed the ring, she did disappear.
My God!
Jimmy!
Oh, thou fisherman. Seest now, the ring did protect thee from harm and fear.
Truly, O Jinni, truly. It did save my daughter and my sultan and this fine young king and me. Happy I am that I freed thee from the jaws.
And I, O fisherman, methinks thy need for the ring be over. So?
It's gone.
Tis with me. And remember mine other promise.
Yes. Good fisherman, how can I ever thank thee for all that thou hast done? And thou, O Sultan?
Tis not I to thank. The fisherman doth deserve all our praise and thanks.
Fisherman, already owing thee my life, I wish to ask another boon.
Ask and it shall be granted, O King.
I ask thee for the hand of thy daughter, Huda, to be queen of my people.
My daughter? Queen? Well, if she wills it, she is thine. What sayest thou, Huda? Oh,
what can I say, father mine? I am happier than I've ever been before in my life.
Then this very night we do prepare the nuptials.
And to thee, O fisherman, I make thee a high vizier and counselor to me on all matters for the building of another wondrous aquarium with gold for thy lifetime.
This, then, must be the second promise of the genie. Praise be to Allah.
You have just heard The Fisherman and the Genie, a story from the Arabian Tales of a Thousand and One Nights, adapted for the Columbia Workshop by Perry Harton and Zaki Eldon. The musical score was composed by Norman Lockwood and conducted by Frederick Steiner. The cast included Raymond Van Sickle, Gregory Morton, Patricia Ryan, Joan Alexander, Earl Hammond, Joel Felkins, Omar Alberg, Ed Kalish, and Maurice Ellis. The Fisherman and the Genie was directed by Howard G. Barnes. A special notice concerning next week's Columbia Workshop. This will begin at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time and run 90 minutes in order to present the Old Vic Theatre Company of London, England, in a special radio version of Richard III with Laurence Olivier and Ralph Richardson. Remember, next week, June 2nd, the workshop begins 1 hour earlier over most of these same CBS stations. Announcer is Sandy Becker for CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.